I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Alistair, you know how men can be difficult to buy for, right? Because of you know, obviously the dead hand of capitalism that's choking the life out of this planet. It's difficult to buy anything without feeling you're in some way responsible for the death of all life.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I guess it's men, women, everyone's hard to buy for in that sense. But men specifically can be difficult to buy for because it's hard to know what they want. And that's why we have our episode today is brought for you, to you and for you and from you by harrys.com/thinktank.
The people who make the razors.
The people who make the razors, Alistair. God, they're good razors. I've got a lot to say about it. But suffice to say, there's some kind of Christmas holiday gift box set that you can get. Great deal, right? $5 off for our listeners. And it's got all the things that you need in it to be good at shaving.
Were you trying to tell me a secret just before?
Yeah, well, just you and me. Sometimes I don't. Actually, these deals are a bit too good for the listeners to know, so I thought I'd whisper it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And is that the end of this bit?
That's the end of this bit, but there'll be more information later on harrys.com/thinktank. $5 off a great shaving deal set for you or your friends. And I'll just turn the mute sound off on my phone, and that's the noise that means it's time to do the... Episode... hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
George William Trombley
Birchall. Bajillion Trombley Birchalls. And joining us today, back in the tank, is Stephanie Brocci.
I prefer Curly.
Curly Brocci.
Yes.
Welcome back, Steph, and thank you for exchanging words with us both before and during. I'm assuming you're going
to
speak.
In anticipation of, we'd like to thank you for the oncoming exchange of words during.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Good to be here.
You know, there's a lot of animal print clothing, but there's no fish. Like we don't, you know, we'll print a fish on some clothing, but we won't do.
We
the
absolutely
fish print.
Will.
We don't do fish print.
No.
Do we? Do
scales?
We do scales?
Scales, is that in?
I don't.
But I also suspect so. There's a lot of animals that we would choose not. Like, I mean, fish are animals, but I think there's a lot of land mammals that we would choose not to use their...
Hippo.
...their colouring. The hippo, mm-hmm. for example. Mm-hmm. The grey, leathery skin of a hippo is unlikely to adorn.
Do you picture a hippo having a lot of sort of just hairs that just appear at random?
Like a pig.
Yeah, like a pig.
Yeah, I reckon it would be a bit like a pig.
Do you think you could make toothbrushes out of their hairs?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. You know, that's a hippopotamus hair toothbrush.
That's a hippopotamus hypothesis. Hippopothesis.
Hippopothesis.
I love a hippopothesis.
Other animals. I guess just like a mangy dog. Mangy dog print.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of the animal prints, they're actually... You know, they sort of, when they don't say this, but what they're saying is this is a leopard print.
When at the prime of its life.
At the prime.
Then none of them are diseased in any way.
Mm.
They're healthy. When we choose the print, we pick off not the sick and the old, but the prime of their lives.
And they probably cut around the mange, like when they're kind of, cutting out the bits, they just around that like bite mark and that little bit of rot.
It does set quite a high precedent for leopards in terms of what they look like.
The beauty standards in the leopard community are just ridiculous.
Because they'll look at a lot of those catwalk models and think, well, I don't have... all my arms, legs chopped off, and like a sort of a big flappy gap at the bottom of me.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they eat people, because they want to be inside a person.
Yeah, and that's how eating works, right? When you eat something, you get inside
it. I mean, they want a person inside them, like...
Oh, yeah.
As like, if they are a jacket.
Ultimately, that is the most... Probably the only ethical way in which to wear animal fur is to be eaten by the animal.
I think this is ethical
in that
fur.
Sense, meat is... Fur is murder. Yes, but murder of the person wearing the fur... And you don't see Peter protesting against that, do you?
Well, that's not in their jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction.
Let me just say that slower and wronger.
That is good though.
Jurisdiction. Yeah, so that's out of their jurisdiction. That would be sort of somebody who cares about human rights. So maybe it's more of the UN.
So is it somebody who goes to, like, nature preserves and throws red paint on the animals?
Or on the human carcasses that are in their... the human carcasses that are in their enclosures?
In their gut? Oh, in their enclosures, yes.
Or it's just like a high-end fashion show with just cheetahs and things. That's right, going up and down inside the models.
Great, really well-fed, blood-stained cheetahs going down. Yeah. And that's why they call it a catwalk. Thank you very much, everybody. Okie dokie. See you later.
Also, but just, I mean, look, this is just to correct the one silly thing I said. This wasn't the most silly thing.
Well, hang on. It wasn't jurisdiction.
What I'm referring to is when I said that maybe the UN would get involved. I don't think the UN gets that involved with animal on human violence.
There would have been a time at which that... Do you think there was a time at which that tipped over? Where, like, there was there a time... where more humans were eaten by animals than animals were eaten by humans?
Oh, I'm sure. Right?
Wait, no, because we would have eaten a lot of animals who are herbivores, like little rabbits and stuff. So
yeah, but then, you know, we weren't always so populous.
And there were more saber-toothed tigers.
There were. Yeah.
And regular tigers.
Yeah.
And... pigs? Do you think there was a time when we were dominated by pigs?
We were just that bad. Yeah. We were like so much further down the food chain.
And
that even some of the like sort of relaxed herbivores, not even really omnivores, but like the ones, just the bigger ones, we would just get eaten by them sometimes.
Yeah.
Like lazy vegetarians. They're like, oh, I occasionally eat a human.
Yeah. And there would have been a time then, during this time, when some kind of Orwell guy would have come up and written a version of Animal Farm, but it would have been called Human Farm.
Yeah, right.
And then the pigs were dominating them, and then they would look to the pigs who kept them, you know, the pigs were keeping them. And then,
so why is it a human farm?
Because it's humans that are being kept by pigs.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they would look at how their society works and... You know how...
Look at the pig society.
Pig society.
Yeah.
Like that. And then they would get down on all fours and be like... like this. And then, look, oh, I'm like the people in power.
The pigs.
That's... Well, the pigs wouldn't say that. They're already on all fours.
No, the humans would say, I'm like the pigs in power.
Yeah, the pigs in power, who are people point.
So they'd say people.
Yeah, but we would be considered animals.
So it should really be called Animal Farm then.
Oh, that's good.
Really, why is it called Animal Farm? Because all farms are animal farms. It should just be called Farm. What about fucking Orwell, come on, mate.
What about ant farms?
Editing. What about answer animals? Answer animals.
Eh?
Answer animals.
They're insects.
Touché.
I don't think they're going to call it Insect Farm. Okay.
That seems weird. Weird that you didn't know that. And they're not really, like, they're not made of, like, flesh and blood like everything else. They're kind of closer to... They're kind of... it's closer to sort of like an organic plastic.
To a stick. Yeah. Right?
A stick. Yes. Well, it is. It's essentially a living wood.
Oh, okay.
Steph is
I've
afraid.
Listened enough to know we're not where this go down is going. Path again.
We've hired Steph as an outside mediator to sort of see where the podcast is going. And if it happens too early on in the podcast, just stop us getting derailed.
Stop it off.
Or unplug the whole machine if necessary.
Where is the off switch, actually?
You have a gun with two bullets in your pocket.
Yeah.
Only two.
And a cyanide pill if you want to just kill yourself. That's one way of stopping it. It's not working fast enough.
Cyanide could be delicious. Yeah. We don't know. They don't want you to know. Imagine, though.
It's like chili, you know, like chili, you don't get to taste the flavor of chili enough before it starts to really hurt your mouth.
Well, I reckon the flavor of chili is exactly the same as capsicum.
No!
Andy, no! Oh, you idiot!
It really isn't.
Okay, well, you just said that you haven't ever tasted it. It's impossible to taste it.
No, I didn't say that.
Let's play back the tape.
Let's play it back. You only get to taste it a little bit.
You really threw me under the bus with that rewind. You could have said anything. Something that supported my argument or something that supported your argument.
I really support Andy's argument.
Whatever the one is that he's about to make.
I love time travel.
Yeah. It's like, out of all the travels, right? And I feel like maybe science
all
has,
the travels. Science let's sort of, list them all now. Okay. All the travels.
Okay, there's travel. There's space travel, which is just regular travel.
Regular travel. Driving a car is space travel.
It is.
They don't want you to know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Time because of travel. The cyanide. That's the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
But then where else? It feels like science fiction has stopped even trying new types of travel.
Yeah, two types of travel is not a lot of types of travel. No,
there can't be that many things where there's only two types of
them. It's an inventive medium. Like, you'd think that they would have come up with.
There's yes and no. Right, that's types of short answers. There's two. Right.
What about?
I don't really know what that is.
That's a kind of a so-so one.
Yeah, that's a short version of. That's like an abbreviation of I don't know. Which is a long answer.
But then yes is an abbreviation of yes, yesterday. Absolutely.
And no is an abbreviation of oh god no.
No.
Yeah, it's a really long no.
Is no short for anything?
To go back to the early days of human...
That's your long answer.
Yeah.
No. To go back to the early days of human existence with the animals, I think all words would have been screamed, right? There would have been no need to communicate unless it was an emergency and you were being eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. That's all I'm saying. So all words would have been longer
and so
and
would
screamed.
Have the women just been shouting, yams!
Yams!
Found some yams!
Because then it's an emergency to come and get these yams.
Come and get the yams.
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency. Lives, emergency, urgency.
It's an emerging urgency.
Yeah.
Emergency. jurisdiction.
Emergency.
Emergent. Urgency.
What were we saying?
All words.
You're shouting about
yelled.
The yams. Everything. Well, life was so short. I imagine in those days that to get anything done in your short life, you would have had to shout and really make people, you know, you shout about the yams because you'll be dead in a week. You know?
Man, that'll be a great new t-shirt for Two in the Think Tank. You shout about the yams because you'll be dead in a week. And that, it's beautiful.
Shout about the yams! Shout about the yams!
That's what I was talking about. Exactly. I meant in brackets, in rap form.
In rap.
Well, I think there is an element in which life back then, you know, when you're shouting about the yams because you're going to be dead in a week, you never stop working because you never have plentiful food because it's not easily accessible because it's times before, you know, mass horticulture, right?
Mm.
And so when you find a stash of yams, right?
Oh, it's a stash.
A stash of yams, right? It is an emergency because it means you potentially could stop working for the day.
Mm.
And so it's...
That's like a day off.
Surprise weekend.
Yeah.
And you want that weekend to start ASAP
possible.
But there isn't. There aren't really happy emergencies, are there?
Mm.
Wait. Heart attack? No.
Well.
No.
No.
You mean, if you're sometimes so happy.
A heart attack gives you a new lease on life. Mm-hmm. But they say lease because I imagine it's only short term. Because you probably have another heart attack.
The rental contract
soon.
Is not a lease on life, is it? The landlord's a real.
I am not getting my bond back on this lease on life. I tell you,
I'm getting a mortgage on life. That'd be great though. That's when you just borrow a bunch of money right before you die, have a real good time, mortgage on life.
Oh, I don't really understand what a mortgage is.
It's a loan. It's just a loan. Okay. It's just a big loan. So Andy has a mortgage.
I know.
And our Patreon money helps.
Yeah.
Shut up, Alistair.
Helps cover
that's the most I know about mortgages.
You know, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Do you want to know how much it is?
Yeah,
there's
and
a
your
new
address.
Patreon tier. If you write in, I'll tell you the. I'll email you every week and let you know where my mortgage is at.
That's okay? good.
And the amount that you have to pay to get on this Patreon tier is $272,000. Let me tell you, the first update is going to be pretty positive.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away.
Well, you got to at least give them at least 1 month, just so that they can you pay it
anticipate.
Off after. Yeah, after
you're
the
right.
first letter, just so you got some more content.
You're right. You're right.
Oh, but I'd be, get really excited for them when you remortgage your house.
Mm. I'll be doing that
when you've wasted all that Patreon money.
Oh, no, I got it all, and then I wasted it before the end of the month.
Yeah,
because before the next payment came up.
If you think a person who wins the lottery, gets unhappy in 2 years' time when they've spent it all on, I don't know, fancy shiny shoes.
They are so shiny, though.
I'm right here, Alistair.
Convertible shoes. You know, you only get convertible cars, but everything, most things that you have, their top can come down, including
not hats. Everything except hats.
No, the top can come down off your hat.
Legionnaire's cap.
Yeah, Legionnaire's cap.
That is not a situation. That doesn't work.
What about the cap?
You're wrong.
What about a regular cap that you wear when you have Legionnaire's disease?
That's not, no.
I just took my cap off. Even a baseball cap. Imagine that. Rim stays there with the sort of a belt around the side all the way to the back. You know, just standard. Standard way of holding the hat on.
I understand.
But then the whole cap rolls up like that. Rolls up like that all the way up.
Like a sardine can.
Like a sardine can all the way and tucks into the belt.
Literally a Legionnaire's cap in reverse.
Except
the Legionnaire's cap has a top as well. Mm. But yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant accountant / poker cap.
What about a Legionnaire's visor?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's sort of what he's describing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, what's a Legionnaire's cap?
It's just a cap with a flap. But the flap can roll up and velcro to the top.
Of course.
Just bought one.
I've never had one that can roll up and velcro to the top. Is that a new innovation? Have they just come up with that?
I think they came up with that when they came up with the cap.
They didn't have velcro then, so that's wrong.
Do they have...
Yeah.
Do they have one that has a little curtain in the front? Like,
oh,
so
that's
like
good
a hospital
for privacy.
Curtain?
For shame that you're wearing a Legionnaire's cap.
Yeah.
You can just pull it closed.
Shut it down.
But then if you want to look through, you kind of got to tilt your eyes like that. Just to
and look through the gap to see if there's an audience.
Yeah. How's my crowd tonight?
Anyone into that?
Ooh, it's like that amazing feeling of waiting to go on stage at all times.
That's great. A hat, little velvet curtains that hang down in front of your face, and then every interaction is a performance.
And
right?
the whole world is
back.
A stage.
The whole world is a stage!
All right.
That's the advertising.
Yes, all the world's a stage.
All the world's a stage.
With, we could do your one. The entire planet is a performance space. Everywhere I go, there's a chance to put on a little show.
All available areas are where shows happen.
Yeah, good. You used the word show again
now. Oh. Well, wait, okay, wait. All areas, areas available to all. are spots.
Yes.
Where skits occur.
Oh, you did it. You did it. You did it.
Mmm. Skit. Okay, wait. Oh, wait. I've stopped. We've said some things along the way. Did anybody recognize anything as a sketch idea? I've written out ethical fur. I think that's a classic one.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's the solution to regular fur, but you get eaten.
Yeah.
I think there was a bunch of stuff that was it was all good.
I don't remember.
But I don't remember
reverse, any of it being
the
good.
Reverse Legionnaire's cap with a curtain is spot on.
Do you reckon Redbubble make one of them?
They will. They will now. This is the thing. Redbubble, they will only do. They have a range of existing shapes, and all they're doing is the coating, the covering on the shape.
But I reckon two Legionnaires' caps could be
genetically fused.
If you bought two,
you cut them in half down the middle.
Well, right? Because you know how if you wear two caps, one forward and one backwards, it looks like a Sherlock Holmes hat.
Right, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I think this is a great idea.
Similar, you just need to cut the cap. Oh, it's difficult. Yes. I haven't thought this through.
No, but that's right. You cut them in half down the middle, right, and you sew them together. And then you've got the Legionnaire's flaps hanging down the front and the back. But then you'd need to slice the front flap in half, so you've got the two curtains.
And you've got an extra flap, like cap.
Flap at the back, so you don't get sunburned while you're doing your show.
Also cap at the back.
I know.
No, you cut that off.
No, well, the Legionnaire's part, the curtain, that's to stop your neck getting burnt, right? But that extra cap... That's to stop your Legionnaire's curtain getting burnt. Right? Who watches the Watchers?
What's the two-mode authentication? What's the safety thing that you have on your phone?
Two-mode authentication.
No, what's
authentication?
Authentication.
Authentication.
I'll say it again.
Authentication.
Slowly.
Ication.
I wrote this down on my hand. Yeah. I wrote down yellowgram, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a new form of communication, or possibly an old form of communication, where people shout things from one person to the next. So before, I guess, they had the telegram or whatever it was, right? You would just have, like, people stationed in little huts,
mm-hmm.
sort of every 200 metres. Mm-hmm. What's the furthest you think you could shout?
30 metres?
30 metres. Every 30 metres, there's a guy living in a little hut,
yeah.
right? And then you want to send a message to Alice Springs, yeah. right? And the guy, you go to a guy at a hut,
mm-hmm.
and then he shouts it, and the guy in the next hut, he's listening,
Why
and then he
all
shouts
guys?
It to the next.
Shout at a woman.
Yeah, indeed. Let's shout at a woman. Couldn't it be? Maybe the hut could be a woman.
It's perfect. Perfect.
She-hut.
It's she-hut. A she-hut. It's an ethical hut. So you're inside a woman.
Inside a cheetah. All right.
Okay, right. The woman's eating you. And then you're shouting through her belly. And
you're still giving all the lines to men.
The men are shouting out the mouth of a woman. So it's
still a woman.
The words are still coming out of the mouth of a woman. That's all you said you wanted was for the bad words to come out of the mouth of a woman. You didn't say they couldn't be shouted by a man who's inside her. All right? So what do you want? What do you want from me? Okay?
We can write on the script that they're her lines.
This but is what
man's,
happens.
We've hollowed her out and we're wearing her as a skin. We're shouting through her mouth hole. So you can still a woman's face on camera.
And they're yelling to each other.
Yes, so it passes that fucking test. You know?
And they won't say anything about men.
But they're talking about ball dock test or whatever.
Yeah, they're talking about whiskers on cats.
And their woman's skin they're wearing. Okay. Is that good enough?
No.
What do you want?
No.
You're impossible all right, to all right. please. You're impossible all right. to please.
No. The ground can also be women.
Ground's women.
And the
They're
sound.
Standing on women.
The sound could be played by women.
See, you never let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? And this is a great way to get more women faces on television, or whatever this is. That
Under the
talking.
Feet of the men.
Under the
it's perfect. I love it. It's like a utopia.
Look, I think you're right. So,
yell it.
How about this? Women are also inside women.
Oh, okay. At least we still get to retain the essential something inside something else element that was there with the man inside the hut.
The turducken kind of structure of the sketch.
Yes, I'm happy to abandon all the rest of it as long as the thing is in another thing.
What about instead of yelling, they actually just throw women to each other?
The women, they tell the woman the message and then she's launched in a catapult. And then caught by another catapult.
Could the catapult be a woman?
The catapult.
Could it be just a bunch of women throwing the woman?
All right, tell me about your idea, Andy. Your good idea. Your good, clever man idea.
We write a message on a woman. And Redbubble.
We've gone too far, haven't we?
Print it
we've
on
gone
her.
Too far.
Yeah, you've gone too far. Okay. Tell me about the...
No, that's all it was.
Instagram. It's just Yamstagram.
Like, Yellowgram. Yellowgram.
Can I?
But Yamstagram is good, isn't it?
You write the message on it, yeah. And then you put the yam in a wheelbarrow and somebody pushes it to another place where which is as far away as you can get before the yams start to wither. And then quickly you transcribe it all onto another yam, fresh yam, and then you wheel it on again.
You know what, though? That would be a great thing. If you were a philosopher and you were trying to send somebody who, let's say, wasn't human, maybe a robot. You're corresponding with a robot.
Wow.
And you were trying to communicate with the robot what it's like to feel full. Right?
I'm so excited to learn how this is like my yams and wheelbarrows idea, Alistair.
Well,
I don't think I've ever anticipated.
Anticipated. Pardon me.
Something more. So carry on.
And then you write the letter. Instead of writing it on paper, you just write it on a yam.
Yep.
And then you send it to it and it just basically says, hey, eat this yam. And that'll have that thing we discussed. Robot. Who is a woman. I'm sorry. And eat it. And then you will... I mean, that's assuming that the robot has been... So somebody's built a robot that has a human stomach.
It has to have a stomach.
Yeah, it has a human, stomach.
Yes, that's all we agree on.
And can feel human emotions, but everyone, has never filled up its gut.
Everyone, when they're building robots, androids, etc., wants to make them look like a human on the outside. So they always put the human part, the skin, the fleshy exterior on the outside. Why can't we build a robot that just has a human stomach? It's a human on the inside. Outside looks exactly like a robot. Mm. Exactly like a robot.
Not even a bit off?
No. No. You'll look at that. You'll look at it and you'll be like, oh my God. It's exactly a robot.
That's a Plato's ideal of a robot. That is the form from which all robots are derived.
Yeah.
I think there's something in that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait.
It's a human stomach.
The yam thing?
Oh, no. Oh, let me be clear. There is nothing in the yams.
Wait. Instead of writing a letter that describes, it's like, you know, instead of writing a poem. All right, you know, like you write poems to express a feeling.
Yes.
Okay, you go, this is what it's like to feel full. Right? Down my throat that food goes down. But before it turns to brown, in my gut, there is a sensation.
he's set himself up with sensation.
It's a bursting, filled up sensation.
He fell into the poetry hole.
Poe hole.
You know, so instead of writing that poem, even though... You know, you've clearly nailed it in about 30 seconds.
Well, Alistair, if whatever you're about to suggest is going to avoid that poem...
Yeah, we're on board.
I think we're on board.
So instead of that, you just sort of... Instead of releasing a poetry book that just has that in it, you release a yam.
Yeah.
And you say, my poem about feeling full, please bake this. Yeah. Don't eat raw. It's no good. You'll quit. You won't get to feel full.
Have you had candied yams?
Candied yams.
Yeah.
Candied yams.
Candied yams.
No, I haven't. Do you just cook yam? Is it just sweet potato?
I've never made it, but it's like in America, you know, that part of the world, they have candied yams, and it's like sweet potato with marshmallow and like a maple glaze. It's like a very, very sweet.
Right. America is like a country where they got all the food, but they didn't know what was supposed to be sweet or not. Right, so they make the so fucking pie, pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
And that's sweet. Pumpkin's not supposed to be sweet. Sweet pumpkin. They didn't know that.
What about pumpkin?
No, they didn't know that.
You ever had pumpkin? Yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah, sure, but it's not supposed to be more sweet.
But the only reason why we consider it savory is because you have it with potatoes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Do they put potatoes in the pumpkin pie?
You're just proving my point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I'm saying that outside of that context, you could maybe think that...
Saber-toothed tiger.
You ever had this? Saber-toothed tiger. Okay, before when you're talking about yellowgram...
Yeah.
I had another idea. It's a whispergram.
It's a whispergram.
No.
Now, the whisper... This is like the secret version of the yellowgram, but all the booths are much closer together, so they can whisper it to the person. That way, no one will intercept it. They won't hear what it is.
That's better.
But there's also more points where they could intercept.
Oh, sure, sure. There are risks.
Yeah.
But
there's
only
a very
ones.
Obvious
only
line of people in huts really close together that are blocking a lot of roads.
They're not people in huts. They're women inside other women.
I know, Andy. But they can still be called people in huts.
Okay, great.
Because... women are people in huts too.
Yeah, stop hut shaming, guys.
Yep. For fuck's sake.
Yes, brought you.
Now, instead of your yelling thing or whispering thing, which I think is really good.
It's thanks. Really good, Andy.
Yeah. You're going to write all of them down?
I could write yellowgram.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I think that's just an...
Steph made a face. Please note that Steph made a face.
Look, yellowgram, and it's just... I mean, it's kind of like old ways of communicating, how people used to communicate. Yeah. So is this a historical document?
It would have been an absolute breakthrough in technology. Like when they put the telegram up the centre of Australia, it's like that. They had a line of huts that went all the way around Europe.
Well,
right?
This is where the yellow pages started.
Yeah, the yellow pages. Yeah.
It's like you had to know who to yell at.
Who to yell to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody was both a caller and an operator at the time. Really put a lot of operators out of business.
And shout.
It's like an Uber system almost, like a gig economy type system.
But where everybody has to.
That'd be great. How far do you reckon you could get a message, like in some, you know, in the city, if we all sort of worked together and agreed that we would help, that if you wanted to get a message to someone on the other side of the city, you just shout it, and then anyone who hears it goes like, yeah, I'll shout that, and then they shout it a bit further on, and then hopefully someone else hears it, and they keep shouting, and we get the word out.
It's but really good.
In your shout, there would have to be the information on where and who the person is, like you would in a telephone signal, right?
Yeah, everyone has a number.
And you'd also have to say that you are taking responsibility for passing it on.
Yes. Yeah.
So, because there's so many people could hear it in one radius. Like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One town has found a way around mobile phones.
Too much screen time?
Yeah.
Move to
Galway. Is that a real place?
I don't know. I was trying to think of a place that wasn't a real place, and I couldn't think of one.
Yeah. Galway, which sounds like a place in Scotland, which is a perfect place.
For something like this to happen.
For something backwards to occur. Hello to all our Scottish listeners. And so then they just do that.
I think Rory M. Spence might be Scottish.
From the Dog Hair Network.
From the Dog Hair Network.
Oh, Rory.
Rory.
Yes. He'd be very good at the, what's it called? Yellow.
Yellowgram.
Yeah.
Town.
Saber-toothed tigers. No, my idea about saber-toothed tigers, right, is that that's an animal that essentially has knives for teeth.
Yes.
Right? What about one that has spoons or
that's
forks?
A platypus, isn't it?
Spoons for teeth.
Yeah.
Is that what Latin
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I think...
Spider-toothed.
Yeah, I think a platypus has spoons for teeth.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of teeth. It has a bunch of things that can hold soup.
There is literally a spoonbill bird, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a spoonbill.
All right,
yeah,
I'll shut up. There's nothing with a fork, though.
No, no, but look, the spoonbill, none of its teeth are spoons.
That's
just its bill.
That's true.
Do they have
So there's
teeth?
Still a gap. Yeah.
to birds hunting.
Yeah, but they're knives.
Sorry.
Oh, apologize.
You'll do. Anyway, you were going to say something before I made you write down Yellowgram.
Yeah, but that's, now it's the town that exists without phones and they have
No, but you were going
to
say something
everybody
else.
Everybody is a phone.
Weren't you going to say something else?
Yep.
You were going to move
on to
a different
language.
Idea.
It's a new language. And this is another town that does this. This is another town. Great. This is not Galloway.
Great idea for a town.
It's a town where they have their own language, which is called Yellowgram, mm-hmm. right? But what they, the way that they talk, and it's an older civilization, they were separated from the rest of the world for a long time. Yep. And they use the word yellow, like this,
yep.
and they use it at different volumes, like that. And each volume represents a different letter.
So it's like a tonal language, but instead of tone,
it's
volume.
It's volume, like yep. this.
That's good.
So like, yellow, that's A. Yellow, that's B. Yellow! That's C.
Oh, Christ. And just out of interest, what's W?
They have a shorter alphabet, they just have ABC.
Yeah, it's ABC. And so they can say right. back, they can say cab.
Now, the problem is the further you get away, words change meaning, right? Mm. Words have a different meaning the further you are away.
So back could mean front? Oh, no.
No, just because the volume will be lower.
The volume will be lower.
It won't be as loud.
Oh, yeah, but then you could have a series of things that you put, like, between your mouth and the other person to regulate volume, like big screens
That's really
or,
good.
Like...
So the volume is always the same everywhere, like the speed of light.
Yes.
Yes.
My answer is yes.
That's what yes is short for.
My answer is yes.
Yes. I'm going to get these my answer is yes t-shirts out there. God damn, it's going to sell real good. Anyway, I started holding the mic.
Whatever the thing we said about yams was, life's too short to not shout about the yams or something. Life's short, shout about the yams.
You'll be dead in a week.
Yeah.
You'll be dead in a week, shout about the yams.
No, shout about the yams, you'll be dead in a
week. Shout about the yams, you'll be dead in a week is a great message. Like, there's a lot actually in that, right? Mm. It is a bit of a YOLO.
Yeah, you know? And it's, you know, and it's also, it's quite a good food to promote. They're low GI, you know, and so it's sort of, I guess it's better in terms of... I think you don't put on as much weight, which
so
is not
you
a bad
live,
thing.
You might live a bit longer than a week if you go to yams.
Exactly.
Yam-based diet.
Do you want me to write that down? It's just like, you know, Yellowgram, when you were telling me to write it down, there wasn't a lot there. Yeah. It was just
you would listen. You kept interrupting me and accusing me of sexism. Because none of the women were hot.
Yeah, it's weird that you would get accused of sexism, Andy, when... All of the people who appear on your show in your ideas are men. And I've had this discussion with Steph before. And I've, even through a conscious effort, have failed.
It's difficult, but it's not impossible.
Even my comedy partner is a man. That is an example of how sexist I am.
And you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Even me.
Again, I think when we start making jokes about it, we make it worse.
Oh, man is one of the most sexist things to be.
Andy, that was the worst one so far. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now what could we do with...
Harry's. Men are traditionally hard to shop for.
Yeah.
Because they're fuckers.
Yeah.
Right?
The patriarchy is so hard to please.
Yeah. Yes, correct. Thank you.
God, I'm glad you're here.
Anyway, a really easy way to please the patriarchy is to go to harrys.com/think tank, get a Christmas gift pack for the man in your life.
Buy him a present.
Yeah. Buy him
he
a
deserves
present.
It.
Right? Just at least quieten him up for a little 15 minutes.
That's right. You can't oppress anybody while you're shaving, right? Because you'll cut yourself.
That's right.
You'll cut yourself.
I mean, right? not with these 5-blade razors.
Harry's makes long-lasting quality razors at an affordable price.
I like that about them.
Go to harrys.com/think tank, get $5 off a gift pack for somebody, right? Do you want to know what that gift pack contains? Foaming gel, German-engineered 5-blade razor, handle, with an option to engrave.
I'm glad they include the handle.
Weighted ergonomic handle. Yeah, you don't just have to hold the blade.
Yeah.
That's I have real done generous
loose
of them.
Blade, handful of blades.
I have done that once. I have like bought. I had a pack of razor blades that weren't compatible with my handle, and but I just needed the new razor, so I started just holding on to the blade.
Your whole arm was the handle.
My arm was the handle, and you know what? For that first time, for the first time in my life, I felt I was in control of my life.
You didn't need that handle to get come between you and your own face.
And now that I have a, young boy in my life. This is my son. Just to clarify. He often needs something to hold on to, and often it's my arm. Mm. And that work I put in
earlier. Even more like a handle.
Yeah, that work I put in or in the early years of having my, working my arm as a handle, it's really paying off right now. Because I'm not scared now when somebody else uses it as a handle.
And you also get the little, you know, you love this, Alistair, the little travel pack, travel case.
Oh, you bet.
For your blades so they don't cut anything in your bag.
Can you use that for space and time travel?
I reckon there's even a third type of travel.
There's a third type of case, a time travel case for your razor. Which, when you go back in time, stops you accidentally shaving anyone from history and therefore changing the course of events.
I would shave Hitler's moustache.
You?
Oh, my God, that's really
great.
I'd
go back and shave his moustache.
Yeah, weirdly, I'd shave his chest.
Just for funsies.
Yeah, just to see. I don't know. I think it'd just be nice to see what he would look
shave
like.
Shave like a smiley face in.
That would be nice. Or give him that kind of like that Austin Powers heart, hairy heart.
This has been discussed, but everyone talks about going back in time to kill Hitler, but I'm sure people at the time were trying to kill Hitler. It's not like he was a...
Really,
I think wasn't all of the Western world sort of trying to kill Hitler? Like, I think if it was doable, it would have been done.
But not when he was a kid.
All of the Western world wasn't trying to kill baby Hitler, you're right.
Yeah. Because if they were, that would be a great reason to start a world war.
Do you think that we'll be able to have that eventually that'll just be part of the heel prick test? They'll just, you know, because at the moment they do like jaundice and, you know, various
when
genetic
things. When a baby is born.
When a baby is born, they'll do a little heel prick test and see if he's Hitler.
Mm.
And then if he is, the entire Western world will kill him. Oh, I'm sorry.
How...
Did you have to finish that?
Go
tell us more about Harry's.
Get your shopping done early. Free shipping ends December 12th, so act now. Go to harrys.com/thinktank. Get $5 off a shave set while supplies last. I think they even give you free shipping. Pretty sure it says that in there. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Oh, I love free shipping. And handling. I mean, if I could get... I would forego the shipping if I could just get handled. For free.
I'm starting to think it doesn't say anything about free shipping here.
All right. Well, it's good to clarify. We're going to have to redo this one.
No. I just said there's nothing about shipping. It might be free, it might not. But we don't take a position on the podcast.
Great. The ad doesn't take a position.
It's such a good deal, and it supports the podcast.
Yeah, it's really nice of them to support the podcast.
It's really nice of them, and it would be really nice of you. harrys.com/thinktank. The end of it.
Now, what other kinds of things could you travel through? Mm-hmm. Now, I know, okay, my first thought was neck, but that still is regular space travel, right?
Memory?
Oh, yeah. Do you think we travel through our memories when we look in our mind?
Yeah.
I guess as much as anything could be considered to be traveling through memory, you're probably right. But to get to a memory, you don't have to, like, scroll back through all your memories, you know?
Mm, it's true.
Which is great. It's great because it's like we've got a digital system for memories rather than an analog one. Like, if it was all kept on tape, you'd have to rewind through everything.
I think mine's like, you know, those dry cleaning racks where they press a button and it zzzz and comes around. It comes like that.
And some
it's
are
not
hidden.
Linear, but it's like...
Yeah, and some are just hidden that you just can't even access for a long time until, you know, that machine's been running for a bit. Because that's kind of what it feels. You go, I know it's a guy with sideburns. And he's a woman.
At least you're trying, Al.
I am trying.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I think that what is missing from a lot of female fashion is... the female mutton chops.
Mutton chops?
You know? Like, just big, thick, hairy mutton chops that come down your cheeks like that. You know, it's more than a sideburn.
Yeah, and they are they don't feel like for because a beard and a moustache they are traditionally a masculine thing, but I don't see any reason why the sideburns have to be any particular gender or sex.
Well, there's no reason why any of it should be anything.
Sure,
that's right. That's right.
But tell me more about Mutton Chops.
What I was trying to say.
I just think you know it's a look that is evaded. That has evaded a lot of the catwalk. Mm. You know, these, obviously catwalk used to be actually done with humans. Obviously now it's done with real cats, just giant cats.
Who love mutton chops, by the way.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's called a catwalk. Thank you.
I mean, the thing is, when you see that cat walking on that walk, you actually don't know who's wearing it unless they announce it over the thing. Naomi Campbell, or a lamb, you know, it could be a lamb or a mutton, an older, you know, but a lot of the time when these sheep get quite older, they get pushed out of the industry.
A mutton chop.
Yeah, well, it could be the mutton's chop.
Is inside the cat.
Yeah.
And that's but what that's we're trying to say.
It's wearing the spotted outfit.
Yeah. The cheek in general is like pretty underutilized for a lot of stuff.
That's
right?
True.
It's real dead real estate right there. It's highly visible.
Yeah.
And we don't do anything with it. We just leave it blank. You know?
Yeah, you think you could use it for some kind of communication or like I don't know.
Yeah. So how
advertising.
Advertising.
Why haven't they covered?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That in advertising yet?
Yeah, and, well, I mean, you sort of put your hands out like that. What about that dog cone, you know, that you have to stop you from picking at your stitches?
Mm. Yeah, like, I know that. Yeah, I have that.
Yeah, that dog cone, that you never see that in fashion or humans.
Well, no, it's like a ruff. Like, the Tudors had ruffs. It's a bit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Was that what that was for, to stop them getting at their stitches?
It's to make your head look like an ice cream.
Oh, that's really nice, yeah.
Or and like a little cupcake?
Little cupcake.
Yeah,
Ferrero Rocher?
It'd be awful to eat sort of spaghetti with the noodles flicking down there and you get stuff like red all over your ruff, all in that gap there. It's like that looks like it would be a one. You know, you wouldn't wash that.
It was a time when a lot of people were getting their heads cut off as well. Yeah. I wouldn't wear something that draws so much attention to my neck.
Maybe it was meant to be distracting.
Oh, right. Or it makes your neck look really thick, and they'll be like, oh, that'll take ages. Let's not bother.
Andy, are you victim-blaming those people who got beheaded for what they were wearing, which is what got them to it?
Yes, for going out there in the...
If she didn't want to get her head cut off, then she shouldn't have been wearing such a big ruff. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, all I wanted to do it was slice through that. Like a piece of very covered meat.
It does look a bit like those things you put on the end of a turkey's feet when you roast a turkey. Those little chef's hats. It's got a similar look to it.
Why do they put little chef's hats on the turkey's legs?
Does, is that what it? They are? Chef's hats.
I don't know. Actually,
they look. What else do they look like in life other than a chef's hat?
Maybe like a cheerleader's pom poms.
They don't look like a cheerleader's.
Like, but white ones, yeah. Like the kind you would do it at like at a christening or something like that, or at a wedding, like wedding pom poms or christening pom poms.
I guess.
Go baby.
But it is a grotesque thing to do, to kill an animal, cut off its talons, and then put little hats on them.
Well, I guess horrific. Of all the bird, the like the exposed gristly stump of like bone is probably the most like confronting thing, the most like
bit, and the head, brings and they you get that off as well.
Yeah, they get that off and you don't even see the hole really
where because of the ruff.
Because of the ruff it's wearing. And
I'd like to see a goose in a ruff. Just a nice image.
Yeah,
I think any long-necked bird with a big, thick...
This would be like that image on online of like if a dog wore pants, how would it wear them? Yeah, would it wear them on the back half or like on the bottom of all of its legs? If a goose wore a ruff, where would it wear it? At the bottom of its neck or at the top? Or would it be a really long ruff that goes all the way along? What a great question.
Good meme.
Do you want me to write down that meme idea?
Could be a meme, yeah. Goose ruff.
Okay, meme idea.
Goose ruff meme idea. Like what? The dog thing.
What were you saying before that?
But
though?
Deliberately bad. I was saying that the gristly, disgusting leg. Mm.
I got to tell you, meat eaters are very
fine with okay bones.
With the both bones and that knobbly bit at the end of a chicken wing. You know, like I know at the end of a drumstick.
The engraved handle.
Engraved handle.
German-engineered weighted handle of the drumstick.
I mean, you could make a beautiful bone razor out of a single chicken carcass.
That sentence, by the way, Broshy, had beautiful rhythm.
Thank you.
German-engineered weighted handle of the drumstick. 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 Just beautiful.
Kicked in the head by a Shetland pony.
Kicked in the head by a Shetland pony.
Look up just YouTube, kicked in the head by a Shetland pony.
Oh, it'll probably be the only thing that will come up
and you'll appear. Some of the people from this podcast will appear in that sketch.
In a sketch.
And it is a sketch.
Mm. And don't write into us saying it isn't.
Yeah. Although if you do want to write in saying something like that, I think you set up an email for us.
Oh, yeah, I set up an email. Yeah. It's twointhethinktank@gmail.com. I can't remember what it is. Sorry, Alistair. I'll have to check.
Do you check it all the time?
Yeah, I'll put a link down the bottom of the thing. I'll put a link down the bottom of the thing, and this is a new thing we're going to do. People can email us ideas for band names for George, and we'll read them out on the show.
That's good.
So email in. I'll put a link down the bottom, and if you want to send us a band name for George, I'll read it out. And
George does listen to this.
We'll suggest it to George. It'll go right at the end of the show, so that George will hear that bit when he's editing the show, and it'll really annoy him. But he'll love it.
We're doing it because we love him.
Yeah, it's a really nice thing to do.
And he's got to end this goddamn...
He's got to get a name for the band so we can listen to the music.
He's so good at making you sound good. He deserves to have a good band name. Good
imagine
name.
How good he makes himself sound.
Yeah, exactly.
With his band.
Yeah.
I thought of one before, Sunrat.
Sunrat.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, Sunrat. Mm. It's short.
That's nice.
You haven't heard much of it. It's like Moonrat, but that was already taken.
What's Moonrat?
I don't know. I think it's a type of animal.
Kid Rat? That feels like that's taken. Kid Rat would definitely be taken.
I mean, no one's letting Kid Rat stay out there. Stay out there just in the world, ungrabbed.
Just loose? Just roaming?
Running along
the sun. No, I don't think so. Kid Rat? That would have been one of the first ones taken, I reckon. Buddy Holly and the Crickets? Kid Rat?
Somebody went, all right, now you can name bands. They went...
Kid Rat. Somebody went, now you can name bands.
Well, that's when that started.
I imagine that's how that happens with everything. At some point... Somebody says you can do things and then people start doing them. That's how things get started.
I reckon it wouldn't have been that long after both music was invented, right?
And naming things. And they brought
And then they went, oh my God, this is the perfect time for these two things to come together.
Mm.
But then it would have also been people who how long do you think it took before somebody who was doing solo music work to be allowed to kind of call themselves something different? Because I think that's more recent.
It's pretty recent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like Foster the People.
Is that a guy?
That's a guy. That's one guy. Foster, he's even got the word people in there.
That's audacious.
Very confusing.
What's he played by? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he plays probably an instrument, but is he played by a man or a woman?
He's played by a man. Because all the area I'll allow it. Is a performance arena.
I was hoping surprise would make it less petty. All right. Look, we've ground the sketch idea coming up part to a halt, and we need to get that engine going again.
Yeah. Well, let's take that halt.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
We were trying to do transportation.
Mm.
Now, We went through the mind one and you said...
Travel, yeah.
Travel. Yes, you're right. You said memories, but then you said it's not really travel. We got to find one that's actually travel.
What about...
Smell?
Oh. I thought I had an idea, but no.
Smell is port.
I think the idea of traveling... traveling inside yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Is interesting, right? Like... If you could somehow be inverted so that your head and face collapse in on themselves and start to push into your own body and then down your neck and into your stomach and you can look around. You know, it's a form of travel.
I guess so. I mean, it feels like it's a completely different idea where all it is that you can just push your head into your own body in between your shoulders. Do you think you're your chin and the back of your head would even fit in between your shoulder blades or whatever? Like,
got to. That's where it comes from, surely.
It's like, or it's sort of like the, what's that, like the pelvis. You know, it's built to accommodate that coming in and out.
Genuinely how, as soon as you start describing it, I was like, that makes perfect sense. I picture that.
Or is that area where your collarbone and all that is it only capable of... fitting a baby's head.
Right.
So you could do it, but we've discovered that you can do it, but only if you change your head back to a baby's head.
And then you can pull it inside yourself. I imagine, like, if you took all the air out of the lungs and you emptied your stomach, there'd be enough room in the chest cavity to put a head in there.
Okay. First thing you do, throat.
Breathe out.
Finger down the throat.
Yeah.
Make yourself vomit.
Great.
Right?
You don't eat for 24 hours before you do this.
Okay,
you?
Great. Probably don't eat.
Yeah. Fasting.
It just depends whether
if you're going to put your head inside your torso, be responsible. Yeah. Don't eat beforehand.
I guess I was just picturing somebody's like, they hadn't planned to do this. They were like, I'm at a party and I can put my head between my collarbone. But you're absolutely right. This is how it's actually going to start. It's going to take people who are brave and who are methodical and careful.
Thank you.
And... I apologize.
But you know, there have been many moments in my life where I have felt like I have wanted my head to go to sink between my shoulder blades like into my chest.
It's a natural instinct.
So good. How good would that be?
Because you can sort of stretch your neck up and down and your shoulders go up and down. And it feels like you can sort of, you can get close. You can get to the front door, but you can't go inside.
I think through enough surgery, you could probably just shave off enough outer bone.
Yes, shaving off. Now we're getting into think tank area.
Outer bone, right, surgically, to kind of just make your head thin enough. So mostly chin, that doesn't need to be there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, that's not functional anyway, right, chin?
The chin feels like it's only there to stop you doing this, really.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a chalk.
Yeah.
Quite a hard chalk.
I think neck.
To stop your neck.
Neck could go all the way to the bottom lip.
Yeah, perfect. Like and then you've got like a nice tapered sort of thing.
It'll be a nice thing like that. There'll be more space in there. I think it'll be harder for someone to choke you, maybe. I'm not sure about that one. Okay.
Well, it will if your head's inside your body.
And then you can take a lot of skull off the back. Just take some of that thickness off.
I need it.
Like that. Okay. And then awkward situation happens, right? Or even like there's somebody I don't want to see today.
Yeah.
Vomit. Mm-hmm. Exhale. Like that. Head straight in. Like that. All the way under. Like that. And it does a funny thing with your voice. It constricts the voice box a little bit. Like that. But you can also, nobody's going to recognize you. No, they're not going to tell
you
from
you. You could just have your eyes peeking out over the top, maybe.
Well, you could look straight out and then bend over. Pretend you're doing up your shoelace and be staring straight out your neck hole. Like that. And just check it out.
Or you pull your head right down. You've got a ruff there. Now, you just look like one of those high tables that you might put a vase on.
But it's better if you carry a vase.
Absolutely,
sure.
Backpack vase at all times.
I love that.
You
this
pop
is...
a vase on top.
Perfect. It's the most conspicuous way to become inconspicuous.
Conspicuous.
Like if you did that at a party, it would not be the like the embarrassing thing.
It wouldn't
you said
be overlooked.
Would not be the thing that people remembered.
Sure, but
they wouldn't be talking about the embarrassing thing.
No,
certainly not be.
That'd be who's that headless gentleman or woman?
Don't like this.
I'm there, like that, but it could still avoid the awkward situation with the person you didn't want to see. Mm. But then, I would say there's a danger with doing this.
A danger?
Go on.
Is
you'll be taken by surprise by saber-fork-toothed tigers.
With a spoon bill, with knife teeth. Nice teeth, sorry. Sorry. Sometimes speak with a lisp. The one risk I just see is that when your head is in that concave area, is that you, if it starts to rain, you could drown. or if somebody just poured, you know, even knocked over your
vase. Oh, no.
Or, you know, or poured a drink into you or something like that. Tried to put a cigarette out in your things like that. It'd be a lot of cigarette burns and things like that. Mm. But you could sort of try to drink your way out.
I think if that happens, you just pop your head out.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess you can only be there so long if you've just exhaled.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And vomited. You'll starve.
And vomited. Yeah, you're going to run low on food pretty quick.
Mm.
And also sometimes when you vomit, it can make your neck feel like it
burns. What are you looking at? You're looking at your stretched out inverted neck skin, I imagine, if you're down there, aren't you?
Yeah.
But it'll also be dark, so there won't be a lot.
Well, you could hold a little torch in your mouth.
You got a little torch in your mouth. Or a little straw, maybe.
A little straw with light.
With light. A light straw.
A light straw. What a great idea. A light straw.
Travel through light straw.
Oh, it's a podcast where we come up with five knickknacks. Five knickknack ideas, things that you could buy people at Christmas that aren't men, because those guys are too hard to buy for.
You don't buy men at Christmas, you're right.
We got enough of them.
We got enough of them around. Something like 50 to 51% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Or 49?
49, I think it's 49.
I'm pretty sure we've got a majority, Al.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
You just
not
think
in this room.
You just think...
Oh, that doesn't help. Oh, no.
Wait, but you'd think that with China, and they're kind of... They have a huge woman shortage, right?
I don't know.
Hardly any huge women over there.
God. Andy, do the next thing. That's better.
Canberra is undergoing a huge man drought. what's that clothing store, like... Big man, big and big and tall, has gone out of business. Huge man drought.
No, oh, I cannot wait for the huge man drought.
Huge man drought.
Oh, I felt like there was something else that we were just saying there, just before we said that 51%. What were you saying about
50%?
But you were saying, why did you bring that up?
Because men and women
are different equal numbers,
and I think that we should fix all the problems in between.
This sounds like something we would say. Yeah, great.
It genuinely is things that we believe in.
I know.
You're both coming off very badly, and I'm enjoying it so much.
No, no, Steph, no.
No,
this is not who we are. No.
I know.
She's let me make you feel sexy. Better.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
No, you're not terrible sexist. No. No.
We'll let Twitter decide.
Yeah,
sure. Twitter decide.
What
is it? Two in tank?
Our listenership,
who
are roughly 85 to 90% men.
Yeah. All of your suggestions always come from men, don't they?
Except for Tabitha Post.
Love Tabitha Post.
And Laura. She was like Ryan and Laura.
And so there's a chance she was dragged to the podcast by Ryan, possibly.
But that doesn't... That's not a reflection of...
Okay, so did you
want... I want to say it's not women's fault that they don't listen to the podcast.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't think anybody was assuming that was what...
Hey, Steph Brocci listened to the podcast.
I fucking love the hypocrite podcast.
And Laura, it's the only podcast she listens to, who's also appeared on the show. Anyway, what are we doing? This is getting worse.
This is delightful.
I want to find another way to transport, not through smell. Yeah. Oh, wait, look, we went into the body. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, my God, 5 sketch ideas.
Wow. We did it. It's never happened before.
Why don't we transport our way to our 3-word suggestion?
Alistair. 3 words from a listener. This is one of our Patreon supporters has sent in 3 words for $3 a month, and this gives you the king's ear, and you get to whisper in and say words that you want. Don't put a scorpion in there, because I think that might have happened once in history. But words, sweet Wait, words.
Into an actual king's ear.
Yeah, I think a scorpion went into a king's ear.
When somebody was whispering in there?
No, that was a separate thing. Maybe the scorpion was whispering, I'm not sure.
Let me out of your ear.
Let me out. Unless the scorpion was in somebody's mouth, who was whispering.
I find scorpions so scary.
Yeah, do you think they're scarier than spiders?
Yes.
What remember about big when you, spiders?
Remember when you came to my house in Tasmania and there was one?
Oh yeah. My God.
In your bedroom?
And Andrew here, he invited me to his wedding.
Yeah.
Were you there?
Nah.
No, I'm sorry. I just couldn't remember. I'm sorry. And we went to the spare room. And it's this nice room. We had a baby. And
then, nice wedding. Yeah,
there was one on the pillow.
Way to pull focus. Them in every
room. Jesus. We had a baby. And then on the ground there was a scorpion.
I saw a scorpion at your house as well.
There you go. I think one fell out of my shorts one time.
I just...
Tasmania's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Oh my God, if you keep your eyes up so you're above the scorpion level.
And below the
horizon is quite nice.
Below the magpie, killer magpie level.
Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Our 3 words today.
It's about 3 inches there by the horizon that's absolutely
that aren't trying
stunning.
To kill you.
Yeah.
Where there's no scorpions? Mm. Oh no, the horizon is covered in scorpions. No. But from a distance.
Beautiful.
The sun, the setting sun really bounces well off of the scorpion tail.
Glinting off their backs.
I reckon that just that part of the scorpion point, you know, like at the end of the tail, that part just up there, the part that kind of looks a bit like an aerofoil.
It looks like they were designed to stab themselves in the back, doesn't it?
Or the back of the head, yeah.
Back of the head, yeah. Must be very motivating.
It'd be
I
good
imagine.
If you were typing and you had an itchy nose, though. Or like playing the flute.
You could just stab yourself in the back of the head and die.
Yeah, put yourself out of
Sounds
your misery.
Like you've got a shit job and you've got an itchy nose. Just kill yourself with a big spike.
Hey, at least that person was employed.
Thank you. And not bludging on the welfare state.
I am right here, guys.
That was an attack on staff. All right. Today's words come from Leon Horseman.
Leon.
We're sorry, we did. I feel like I'm probably saying it wrong, but it could be Horseman.
Leon Horseman.
Yeah, there you go. Or Lee Ann Horson.
Sorry, what?
His brain just exploded. It's one mispronunciation too far out. I really like that name.
Leanne Horson?
All of them.
Great. All right. Leon's words, Andy and Stephanie. Are you guys ready?
Yes. God, yes.
Somewhat unrelated accidents.
Yeah, right.
Now, I got to say up front, when you say somewhat unrelated, suggests that they're related.
Yeah, it makes it seem like there was some kind of a relation. Mm. Absolutely. Cause and effect. We've talked about this, a planet where there's no cause and effect.
A plant?
A planet or a universe where there's no cause and effect. Everything just happens. One thing just happens after another because of coincidence.
I mean, it could be a plant that when you're in it, so it would be like a hollow tree.
Yeah, right.
Where there's no cause and effect. The no cause and effect tree.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting because it sounds like you're trying to. Because cause and effect, if you follow that back, you just get to the root of all things. And then what's above that root? A tree. All right.
That's
and
right.
So inside the tree, I imagine, is a time we're now before cause and effect, right?
Yes.
Because all cause and effect happened after the root of all cause and effect. Mm-hmm. And that would be a space wherein things don't happen after each other.
Do you think they still happen and they're related in some way? Or do you think nothing happens?
I think they're aware of each other, but they just happen. Like, sure. Like my musical improvisation.
Okay. Let's...
Any two bits of it aren't really connected.
But you see them in the same place at the same time. Exactly. Or hear them.
And you're invited to conclude that there's something going on.
So maybe the somewhat unrelated part is just it's the brain that's connecting them through, like, you know, oh, it just actually happens to be like blue jeans and then person had a blue eye.
Who do you think is the person who's killed the most people just by accident, right? Like, not a serial killer, but like a serial, like, manslaughterer who's, like, accidentally killed the most people.
Sure.
And look, it can't all be in one event.
Serial manslaughter right now.
It can't all be in one, you know, big like, oh, they crashed a boat into a bridge and everyone fell in the water, right? It's got to be separate, unrelated manslaughters, right? Okay. But they do have a modus operandi and they do leave a little calling card.
So that people can always connect them?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe if they leave a calling card, it could just be because they're like a traveling business or door-to-door salesperson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who opens the door really hard, really quickly, every time. They keep forgetting.
Why are they opening
the door? I don't know.
They're opening it in.
So invasive.
Who has a...
Wait, it's high-pressure sales. We're not saying they're a good person. They're just not a murderer.
That's what a YouTube ad would be, like ones that are in the middle of the video. They're just like, open the fucking door to your house while you're having dinner.
Yeah, and not even like commercial TV used to be.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we lead you up. There's a rhythm to the sitcom and you go to an ad break. Now it's just like, wham.
Oh, it's middle of a word. Really brutal.
It's a lost art.
Yeah.
You're in. It's three seconds of TV have occurred. Bam, you're back in the ads. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Look, I find that I wrote serious manslaughter. I mean,
serial. Yeah. I think that's definitely a thing. I think we could even try and make it as like one of those Luther kind of like gritty crime shows.
What happens in Luther?
Idris Elba is...
Is he a bad guy or a good guy?
Sort of. He's a good guy. He sounds bad because his name's Luther.
Mm.
You think he's going to be bad because of Lex Luther.
But then I think he's going to be good because he follows the Lutheran principle.
Sure, and they were good.
I think so.
Yeah, well, they weren't bad.
I assume. Were they? Well, it seems like they at least had a moral code.
Yeah, they had something, exactly.
Yeah.
Like... As the investigation proceeds, they discover that the thing that connects all of the deaths is they all happened by accident, but they still suspect that they're all the work of one person, a serial manslaughterer.
Yeah.
Just need to find the funny bit.
Sure. Like...
Yeah, well, obviously...
I'm not going to help you with that, obviously.
Obviously, we'll put in a funny bit. There'll be a little horn or something that people keep treading on.
Well,
or...
what about this?
A horn.
It's instead of a door-to-door salesperson, they're a window-to-window salesperson. Instead of putting their foot in the door, they put their foot through the window.
I thought you put your hands in the window and it slammed down on them.
Oh, I just thought he just like jumps through the window or whatever. And like that's real high pressure. You know, like they're on your table, they're bleeding.
Glass everywhere.
What are they selling?
Bibles? I've got the stigmata. Oh, no, it's glass.
More glass. It's aggravated my previous glass wounds. I have some sort of a glass allergy. It brings me out in these gaping...
Comes on these gaping wounds every time I touch glass.
Every time I dive through glass. Is that what they call it, a pane?
The pane. Window pane? Yeah, it's the window pane. I thought there was something like Jesus had experienced that they called the pane.
It sounds like something that he would have.
Well, I feel like a big piece of glass is got to be in some way related to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
Does they have glass then?
I don't know. I always picture their houses as being sort of stone holes. You know, stones with holes?
Stone holes.
Yeah, stone holes. Like, it's weird because it's a stone hole, even though it's not made of stone. It's just made of hole.
Yeah. In fact, that's the only bit that isn't stone. Anyway. Stone hole.
I think to this day, I picture most of the Middle East in my mind, even though I know that this is not true. I picture it to look a bit like the Flintstones houses.
Oh, my gosh. No, you should go to Dubai.
Feels exactly.
Have you seen the Jetsons?
Yeah, I mean, it's still Hanna-Barbera. It's a similar animation style.
Every time I feel sad, I flash back to the time when I was playing Pictionary against my brother, Dave. And he thought that he was trying to convey the... He got on the card Stonehenge. But he misread it as Stonehenge and spent the entire time trying to convey the concept of a stone hedge. And became so distressed.
I mean, it feels like that wouldn't be that hard to do.
Yeah, where...
You know, you draw a stone, a rock.
Yeah.
Right? You go, stone, you go, yeah, stone.
I think that's the thing. A stone is actually a hard thing to draw. Mm. Because, like, what is it?
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right.
Just a bit of stuff, but, like, it doesn't have a defined shape.
Yeah, but what if you draw some floor, some ground, like that, and then put a little stone on it like that?
Oh,
that's definitely... That's a bean on a table.
Bean on a table. It's a stone!
You see, this is what we're getting into.
And then
anyway, the point was, it was supposed to be a phrase. No one's going to guess Stonehenge because that doesn't exist. And he still would have been wrong, even if we'd got it right, because he was wrong.
I know, but if you'd known what's right...
Look, now Alistair's drawn... When we put this online, you're going to see what Alistair's drawn. He's drawn a loaf of bread with legs.
It's a hedge.
He's trying to convey the idea that Stonehenge is an easy thing to convey, and he is absolutely proving the point.
It is quite good, to be fair.
Yeah, look, so that's hedge. First thing you'd say would be bush, and I go, no, like that. And then you go, hedge.
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
I saw a bagless vacuum cleaner in Kmart today, and I read it as bagel vacuum.
Bagels.
It made me so happy, the idea of a bagel vacuum.
All the bagels have fallen all over the ground.
Oh, make your vacuum cleaner noise. That's also what you do when you eat bagels, though, no?
That was before the podcast, that conversation. Now the listeners are going to think I just have a vacuum cleaner noise.
Do your vacuum cleaner
noise, Andy, that everyone loves you to do.
That famous one that's sort of okay. No, but it's like a famously average vacuum cleaner noise.
It's the most, you got to listen to this guy. He does the most average vacuum cleaner, honestly.
It's not as good. Close to somebody on the would make on their first try as anything I've ever heard.
Well, literally it is, because this is my second try at doing a vacuum cleaner noise.
Second is not literally the first. I'm
no,
so sorry.
You said as close as to first.
Oh, well, what
so
about
it was,
first?
Wasn't it? Apologise. Apologise, Alistair.
What about 1.1?
I've been under attack all episode.
Andy. Andy, I think the difficulty with all the sexist stuff is that when you respond, even jokingly, it sounds like you and we are being defensive. And Steph looks like she's being defensive.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Anyway, we've got to move on to the next bit. So I think that's all the ideas.
No, but we didn't give them did we give them a sketch?
Yeah.
Leon?
Do you think serial manslaughter?
Serial manslaughter.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you seemed uncomfortable about it. Is it the dying?
Oh, no, love it. Love the dying.
Oh, no, right.
I was just thinking about, I really like, it's somewhat, isn't it?
Mm.
I love that.
Mm.
You don't, like, somewhat, some,
what?
Somewhere, some, when.
Some when. Some when's
who.
Not a word. That somewhat, some when should definitely
some
be a word.
Some good, some who is good.
Some who. Yeah, because we use someone. Don't we?
Someone.
Yeah, but instead of some who.
Some who, some when. So I'm going to get some when up. That's an event that took place at a time, and you just can't remember it because of information overload. I think it's going to become very relevant. I'm trying to make it zingy, zeitgeisty, you know, somewhere. Millennials, somewhen.
What about somewhere as?
Oh.
Mm. Somewhere as.
Mm.
Somewhere as.
Or see you somewhen. Yeah. Catch you later. See you somewhen.
Yeah.
Somewhen. My God, new t-shirt.
I'm going to call this episode somewhen.
Like George, it. You think George would like somewhen?
email the podcast or read it out on the show
and then we can George can hear it.
Somewhen. You want to take us through the sketches that we've come up with? LS.
Oh, wait, look.
Theater.
Do you think that there's anything in that tree? In that tree where...
No.
I don't mind this idea of the cause and effect tree. Yeah, right? Only because I like the idea of chopping it down and not having rings, but having like some other weird pattern, like a pollock.
Mm.
I think in a no cause and effect tree, all the rings would just be lines that go radially out from the center.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. And then when that tree is chopped down, it's made into like a
chopping board.
Maybe it's a chopping board.
Great idea. Yes, write that down, chopping board. Chopping Don't board. Even say what you were going to say. Steph was right with chopping board.
No. Well, I was going to just say an area that you could be in, like a fale. Or like a...
A fale?
It's a fale, like a that Pacific Island.
Yeah.
Look, it doesn't have to be a fale. It could be a children's cabin.
Okay, great.
Like that. And then when you go inside it, the same rules of no cause and effect occur. Anyway, this is a children's book. Mm. Look, I'm just going to write.
I don't think it's a good. You're not going to sell this book. Parents aren't going to want to buy a children's book that teaches them that there's no consequence to their actions.
What they already believe.
That's the opposite of every single children's book.
I know, but by teaching them about an area where there is no consequence. You
the vacuum cleaner sound is getting worse.
Getting worse. Amazing that vacuum cleaners never cough. They never cough. Sucking up dust all day. Never coughed once.
Coughed once.
No, Alistair. Don't you dare email that into the show.
Coughed once. Tree.
The coughed once tree.
What is it called?
Tree. Cause and effect. Rootless. The root of all things.
Look, I don't think we got to the core of what the sketch would be, but but it'd be a good place. Like, let's say you need to blow off steam, you know. And sometimes maybe you've got just because of something that happened to you ages ago, you've got a bit of a violent personality. So you go in there and you hit things.
You don't hurt yourself.
You don't hurt yourself. You don't hurt other people like that. And something really funny.
Yeah.
That was the third
thing.
Yeah,
great. But also you don't feel any better, I imagine.
But here's the problem. Okay, here's the downside, is that things happen to you for no reason while you're in there as well.
Yes.
So you go in there, and every time you go in,
you turn into a squid.
You turn into a squid. You know, you're...
That would help you with your anger.
But then you go back in, and your handwriting gets really good.
You know? Tentacle writing.
Tentacle writing. Apologies.
But you have your own ink, so... Squid pen, cut down the tree, make pencils.
And look, but how dirty...
They don't need ink. All right, start again.
But then, how weird would that be where you're like, you know, let's say you're sitting at a desk, you know, in the library or whatever, state library, you're a squid, right? You've got beautiful handwriting, but every time you run out of ink on your fin or whatever, your tentacle, you have to go like that in your hole, in your ink hole.
Mm.
Well, you need someone to give you a fright?
Yeah, you go, excuse me, hey, mate, sorry, just one more time. You go, boom, like that, and you go, oh, like that, and you go, and you get it all off the seat, like that, and you go, but you can bet, and then beautiful calligraphy, like that, any language.
And the librarian says,
any language.
Mm. Shh. And then you go, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Sorry,
sorry, that was actually a conversation we were having earlier with someone else. Librarian saying, shh. I was trying to do a callback to something I thought we were talking about. We were talking about that with Claire Hooper.
We have so many things that have happened to us in our life now that we don't know what to call back to.
Mm.
May I take us through our sketches?
Sure.
Ethical fur. This is where it's only ethical from the point of view of not killing animals.
Because
You still have to kill humans because then you got
to... And you still have to drag the animals to Milan and put them on a catwalk.
Yeah.
So...
No, you can't. You can't have a catwalk in the place where the cheetahs are. Savannah catwalk. Even though a lot of those people probably who attend those things could afford to and would love it.
To go to the Savannah?
Yeah.
They would love it.
They'd love it.
Yeah, but who's to say a cheetah wouldn't love Milan?
You're right. You're right.
You guys are so human-centric.
don't you try and get us on this one, all right?
And,
no.
And it is a bit of a generalization to say that...
Oh, God, Al, I can see the look in your eyes.
That... No, but the cheetahs don't like traveling.
Because they run really fast. They must love going places.
Yeah.
But they just get tired after about 200 metres.
Mm-hmm.
But
you put them on a plane that goes really fast.
You know, whenever cheetahs, the reason they can run so fast is they're always imagining that they're running to Milan. Because they love it so much.
It's like when you're boxing. You apparently got to imagine that you're punching through the person's head.
Exactly.
Picture punching through the head. All right, kid, you got to pretend like you're running all the way to Milan. That's how you run fast. All right, we got ethical fur. Then we got reverse legionnaire's curtain.
Such a good hat.
Obviously, that helps. That helps make you know
all of
create that feeling that you're always waiting to go on stage.
Yeah,
you know all of the space
world.
Is a live act.
Venue.
Very good. Then we got Yellowgram. That's...
Yes. Oh, well, I mean, everyone's already on board with that.
Well, that's a town that exists without phones, and everybody has...
Shouts.
It has shouts.
Shouts, and they listen.
And
they pass it on.
And 50 to 51% of the population are cheetahs, and 50 to 51% of those are... Also, phones. They're playing phones.
Oh, no. No.
We've got.
No. What's the other one?
No.
Then we've got mean idea of a goose ruff.
Oh, now that's good.
Yeah.
That is comedy. Meme idea.
I mean, it could also just be. I mean, look, I know a lot of my ideas involve just changing a town, but it could be a town where there are geese around, and then that. You know, from a long time ago, you know, at least there's a story, right? That ages ago, people started, because we honored the geese, we started putting ruffs on them.
Mm.
But then we go back in time and we found out that's not the real reason that they do that. And it was just some guy who's trying to make it seem like his geese had thicker necks than other people around town from some weird bodybuilding, geese bodybuilding competition. And he was trying to cheat.
Geese do have fat necks, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you put a goose beside a swan, I know which one's going to have the fatter neck. That's all I'm saying.
Which of the two birds would you say is the goodliest?
Goodliest.
Yeah. So would you see goose? Is it a goodly goose or a goodly swan?
Goose.
Right.
You're a goose.
Goodly goose.
Goodly goose.
Then we got inconspicuous head neck.
Yes. Right?
That's where you can
suck
hide.
It back in. Suck it back in.
Shave the bones of your head.
Take your chin away.
Make yourself vomit.
Pointy little neck hole.
Breathe out.
Pull it down.
Breathe
look
out.
At the inside of your
Suck
neck skin.
Look in. Go in. Then look out the hole
Put a
in
vase
the top
on
of
it.
Your shoulders.
Put a vase on it.
Put a vase on it. Sit down. Keep that. Just stay confident.
Hang in there.
You know, the moment will pass. People will be really impressed. And then we've got the huge man drought in Canberra.
That's another sketch idea. There's not enough huge men.
I think, anyway, look, it's simple. I really like it.
It is. Serial manslaughter.
Serial manslaughterer. You get it? And then we got the tree cause and effect. The tree of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Tree cause and effect free.
What did I say I was going to call the episode? can't remember. God damn it.
Oh, Samhain.
Samhain. I wrote it on my hand.
Samhain. Great. Well, I think that's the end of the sketches ideas, so I'll just go back to... I think I split my lip.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Steph Brocci, thank you for being here for it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You are absolutely one of our favorite people.
Oh.
You've got a really great Instagram.
Oh, yeah, it's all right. I've just started doing some stupid drawings and putting them on Instagram.
Yes.
If you would like to
see. Yes. Can you promote all of those things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do people find you?
The Instagram account, I think, is called Worry Lines. W-O-R-R. Is that how you say it? I have problems with saying that word.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you
do. Can you say it for me?
Worry Lines.
Thank you. And it's got two underlined, what are those called? Underscores in between those two words.
So W-O-R-R-Y __LINES.
Yeah.
I'll link to it down in the show notes.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome to. Yeah, do that.
Wonderful. On Instagram, I'm at A. Trombley Birchall. I don't think I've ever promoted that.
Oh.
It's your content is good. Oh. I like it. It's mostly your son.
It's half me in costumes and then half my son.
It's very good. Doing.
And I'm at Stupid Old Andy on Twitter.
And you're very good on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you've been getting some traction.
I've been putting a bit of stuff out there recently.
Good.
I've been looking at the people who are sort of about my level in the comedy scene. They're all doing a lot better. But but I'm committed to improving. And see, that's what you get with me. You get someone who's committed to improving
That's what Twitter. I look for in a Twitter handle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, a trend. And the trend is positive, even if the response isn't. Okay?
Well, that was a positive response from Steph Brocci.
Yeah. Thank you, Steph Brocci. Keep it up.
And I'm at Alistair TB, and we're at 2 in Tank.
And we'd love it if you left us a review on iTunes. And really, we would. I'm not kidding. It's a great way to support the podcast if you can't support us on Patreon.
We also have stuff on Redbubble now.
We do. You can get a mug.
People are buying that stuff.
People are buying.
People bought that clock with that photo of us looking weird.
It's very funny. Yeah. If you haven't looked at it, go and have a look at the images of the merch at least, just for a laugh to look
at
it.
I think it's redbubble.com/2intank, I believe.
Sounds like us.
Yeah.
Sounds like us. There's a link below.
Great. Well,
under us right now.
That's it for us now.
We're standing on a link. And we love you. And George, you could call your band Samhain. We're just that now.
Yeah.
George, if you're listening, Samhain.
Sunrat.
Or Sunrat.
Samhain Sunrat.
Samhain Sunrat. Great.
Samhain Sunrat. Samhain Sunrat.
Do we also have a song to get us out of the George's band names bit now?
Probably the best song we've ever done.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.